Everybody's talking about The Passion of the Christ by Mel Gibson, the blockbuster hit. But what really happened at the cross, and why so much violence? That and more coming up next on Faith Factor. Stay there.
Faith Factor.
Conflict. Reality. Faith Factor.
It's time to take a hard look at culture and reality. The cultural war is on.
Faith Factor.
Well, everybody's talking about it. It's the Mel Gibson release of the last several hours of Christ, specifically the crucifixion, from the Garden of Gethsemane all the way to the death and resurrection of Christ. Why so much violence? To the untrained mind in the biblical way and the way of God, Jesus Christ, this violence seems not only unnecessary but repugnant. However, to those of us who have a trained mind, the understanding and the idea of what we call the doctrine of sin and the fallen condition of mankind, this makes a lot of sense and, in fact, is very profound as it affects our souls. We're going to talk about the Passion of the Christ. Why so much violence? And why would somebody take this sacred story and put it on the very secular big screen? It's Faith Factor. The cultural war continues. This is Rod Hembree. Stay there. It's going to be a good one. We'll be back.
The Bible, true or false?
Conflict theology.
Reality.
It's time to take a hard look at culture and reality. The cultural war is on.
We want to welcome WWCR and World Harvest Radio, WHRI, broadcasting shortwave all around the world. Welcome shortwave listeners to the program called Faith Factor. When we return, The Passion of the Christ, Mel Gibson's version of the crucifixion, the resurrection. Here it comes. The controversy swirls and continues once again around the man, the person of Jesus Christ. You know, I got to tell you, all those people who tell me that Jesus doesn't matter, that he's irrelevant, obviously they're not paying attention to the world I live in. First of all, not only do most of the people in the West, the very culture that has so much of its foundation based on the biblical principles that Jesus propagated and promoted himself in the first century AD, it's very interesting to note that people still use his name as a swear word. And then when his name is used in proper context, people become embarrassed and some people become agitated, and they say, keep the religion in the church. And then, of course, when Jesus Christ breaks out on the big screen, well, all I can say is all hell breaks loose, and I use that term in every sense of the word. And you know it's true, because a lot of times we don't understand the swirl of controversy that this one called Jesus Christ actually creates. Now, why is that? As we think about this, I want to challenge our thinking about what really happened at the cross. Mel Gibson so vividly portrayed it for us on the big screen, big pictures, big sound effects, but what really took place? Now let's think about it as we continue on. Nobody argues whether or not Jesus actually existed before. He's probably one of the most documented people in all of history, time, and space. Shows up in the writings of Tacitus, all of the first century writings. Certainly shows up in the writings of Josephus, the first century Jewish historian, turned Roman, actually. And very, very interesting how that Jesus Christ impacted the world around him. Probably the greatest evidence for Jesus Christ are the very disciples that followed him, the famous 12. One, of course, was a betrayer, and he was replaced by a man by the name of Matthias, according to the book of Acts. Nevertheless, the disciples that we do hear about now become what they call apostles, initiators of what it was that Jesus Christ not only represented, but what he was teaching. As we look at the Passion of Christ, we have no other way to look at it except to look at the life of Christ. I want to draw your attention to something and take you back to a scene of the first century during the time of the crucifixion. Two sections that I want to highlight. I have heard on radio all over the world a great deal of controversy going on about who killed Jesus. Well, we're going to deal with some of that and whose blood is on him. Well, I'll tell you something now, and we'll make this statement later. Jesus and his blood is on me, and I'm proud of it. Let his blood be on me. I love Jesus Christ with all my heart, mind, and soul. I wish I could serve him better than I do, but by the grace of God and the power of his blood, it covers my sin. So I say, may his blood be on me. And that prophetic statement, which was made in the Gospel of Matthew so many thousands of years ago, is actually deeply misunderstood by the shallow-minded nature of our culture today. All right, with those strong statements, let me qualify them and take you back to the time of Matthew. Matthew 27, the first century. Here is part of the scene, and just part of it, that took place at the cross. I want to highlight Matthew chapter 27, verse 24. When Pilate saw that he was getting nowhere with the people, but that instead an uproar was starting, he took water and washed his hands in front of the crowd. And Pilate said, I am innocent of this man's blood. It is your responsibility. Matthew chapter 27, verses 25 and 26. Listen carefully. The scripture explicitly says, all the people answered, that includes all present, and there were Gentiles present. All the people answered, let his blood be on us and our children. All the people answered, let his blood be on us and our children. Matthew 27, verses 25 to 26. Then he, Pilate, released Barabbas to them, but he had Jesus flogged and had him handed him over to be crucified. Now, I want to make one point here. The Bible is clear on this. The blame of Jesus Christ's death is not to be placed on any specific group of people, but all of humankind. And by the way, it was Jesus Christ himself who initiated that death by the plan of God according to Scripture. This is what he would talk about in Matthew 24, but we don't have time to go too far into that today. I want to get straight to this other passage, which is absolutely striking. Are you ready for this? I'm not sure. Some people, I'm not sure if they're ready for this or not. But here we go. Matthew 27, verses 45 to 46. Let's read on. From the sixth hour until the ninth hour, darkness came over the land. Jesus was already hanging on the cross here. Back to the scripture. About the ninth hour, 3 hours later, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which means, my God, why have you forsaken me? Matthew chapter 27, verses 47 to 48. When some of those standing there heard this, they said, he is calling Elijah. Immediately, one of them ran and got a sponge, and he filled it with wine vinegar, and he put it on a stick and offered it to Jesus to drink. Matthew chapter 27, verses 49 to 50. The rest said, now leave him alone. Let's see if Elijah comes to save him. And when Jesus had cried out again in a loud voice, he gave up his spirit. I just want to stop here a minute at Matthew chapter 27, verse 50. The Bible says that it was Jesus Christ who permitted his spirit to leave his body. No one killed him. Jesus permitted it to happen. Jesus laid down his life for us. This is very important. We need to pay attention to this. Matthew chapter 27, verse 51 to 52. At that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook and the rocks split. The tombs broke open and the bodies of many holy people who had died were raised to life. Now, I want to read this passage again. I want you to get what's going on here. We are talking about probably one of the most provocative passages in all of the New Testament. And by the way, there's over 5,000 documents backing up the New Testament, the four Gospels. We divide up the four Gospels this way, three synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and a spiritual Gospel, or Matthew, Mark, Luke, and a spiritual Gospel is John. And so we have different angles, like four different camera angles on the same event. We have different angles prepared for us by the Holy Spirit of God in the four Gospel of John, or the four Gospels here in the New Testament. John is camera four, Luke is camera three, Mark is camera two, and Matthew is camera one. So looking through camera one, the scripture says in chapter 27, verses 51 to 52, at that moment, the moment Jesus gave up his spirit, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The temple, the curtain was the sacred place that contained the holiness of God. So in other words, all holiness broke loose. And the earth shook. When the holiness of God breaks loose, folks, there are physical manifestations that take place, not the least of which is a cleansing of you and me. You see, the holiness of God either heals us or judges us depending on the condition of our soul, depending on if we have the blood of Jesus on us or not. Well, it says in the scripture that the earth shook and the rocks split, and the tombs, the places where the dead people are, the tombs opened and the bodies of many of the holy people who had died were raised to life. Talk about Night of the Living Dead. It's actually renamed Night of the Living Life. Matthew 27, verse 53. And these holy people came out of their tombs. And after Jesus' resurrection, 3 days later, these holy people went into the holy city and appeared to many. Matthew 27, verse. Can you imagine such a thing? Grandpa died 20 years ago, and he was a man of God, and suddenly he's prophesying in the temple of, or in the city where the temple is, Jerusalem. I mean, Jesus, crucifixion, I mean, it totally disrupted the normalcy of life. They say life is a natural, or death is a natural part of life. Well, let me tell you something. Jesus Christ is an invader. He invaded death to bring life. Why are we arguing over the foolish things? Why are we involved in foolish controversies, as some would say? Well, when we return, we're going to talk about the unreality of reality based on an article that is published, one of many articles in Popular Science Magazine, Journey to the 10th Dimension. What really happened at the cross in the other dimensions, in the spiritual dimension of the Passion of the Christ. When we continue, you're listening to Faith Factor. I'm Rod Henry. Stay there. We're going to continue. It's going to be a good one, folks.
Faith Factor will be right back.
The cultural war continues.
Rod Hember here, just to stop by before we carry on, let you have the address and tell you how you can become involved here with the Faith Factor program. It's produced by an organization called Quick Study, so we call it Quick Study Radio. Now, we have, for those of you who write to us, something called the One Sheet Wonder. It's one sheet, and it has a wonder of information on it about the 66 books of the Bible written over thousands of years by 40 different authors, all with the same theme. Very, very interesting things about the Bible. The latest one we have is Dinosaurs in the Bible. Are they in the Bible? We have all kinds of information about creation and the events of creation as they are presented in the Bible. What does it really mean? Some very interesting things. By the way, if you're into science and you're into these kinds of things and apologetics, this is for you. The One Sheet Wonders for you. They come out every month. Now, if you'd like to be a part of the mailing list, I'll tell you how to do that in a minute. If you just want a sample copy of the One Sheet Wonder, we just need a little bit of your help to get it going. What we need is a $5 donation that gives us the ability to send it back to you. And if there is anything left over, which there's not usually, whether that's a dollar or $2 or $3, it goes to the production and the airtime of this particular radio program. Now, if you'd like to get a hold of a sample copy of the One Sheet Wonder, become involved a little bit with the program, you can write to us. When you write to us, tell them who are answering the mail on the other end that you want the One Sheet Wonder. There's staff here that work with us, and ask for it. You know, I want the One Sheet Wonder, and here's a donation of $5 or more. So we simply ask that you would help us to do that. It helps us to get the postage to you wherever you're at in the world. If you're listening in overseas, remember you're mailing to Canada. And so we're quite happy to receive your letters. We'll turn it around as fast as we can. Write for the One Sheet Wonder, Science in the Bible, very interesting stuff, Archaeology in the Bible. It's one sheet of paper, but it has some very interesting things on both sides. Write to Quick Study Radio, P.O. Box 456, Orangeville, Ontario, L9W5G2. That's in Canada. Again, the address, Send an offering in any amount. I say $5 or more, but you can really send an offering in any amount, whatever you can afford. Pray about it. Ask what God would have you do. And send it to Quick Study Radio, P.O. Box 456, Orangeville. That's like the orange. Orangeville, Ontario, Canada. L9W5G2. I'll give the address one more time for those of you who are a little rough in your English. One more time. It's Quick Study Radio, P.O. Box 456, Orangeville, Ontario, L9W5G2. It's in Canada. Write to us today. We'll be happy to send you a sample of the One Sheet Wonder. If you'd like to support this ministry in any amount, pray about it. Ask what God would help you do. And that'll help us stay on the air. It'll help us pay the airtime and the production cost of this program. I do hope that Faith Factor helps increase the factor of your faith in your life in Jesus Christ. Now back to the program. When you think about the Passion of the Christ and the cross, was it simply a physical act, or was there something else going on in the spiritual world at the foot of the cross?
The Bible, true or false?
Conflict theology.
Reality.
Rod Hembry back with you. Faith Factor, the second part of the program. Part two, we get to talk a little bit about where culture is. In the last part, we'll talk about where the Word of God is, where the Bible is, and what else did happen at the cross. Just a quick word here as we talk about it. The recent publication of Popular Science talks about and has on the front cover the journey to the 10th dimension. Michael Morier, senior editor of Popular Science magazine. He is a graduate in the studies of physics at Columbia University. Here is what he says, quote, "Space is a multidimensional paradox." Now, what's he talking about? He's talking about the way that you and I perceive reality is a bit of a paradox. He goes on to quote it this way, quote, "Space as you and I know it is a lie. There is no one model of the extra dimensions in the universe, no one statement of fact that physicists can agree on," Michael Morier says in his recent publication of the Popular Science March edition of 2004. He goes on to say, "Real physics asks you to accept the ideas that are counter to the fundamental basics of our daily experience, the framework through which we comprehend everything." Page 72. Now, what's he saying? He's saying that the reality that our five senses tell us, taste, touch, smell, see, and hear, that reality, there is so much more to it. Like an iceberg, most of reality is under the surface beyond our protection, or rather beyond our perception. And that other reality is more real than the one we know today. And yet, isn't it interesting, when it comes to spiritual things, that we make judgments on spiritual things based on our five senses only. And we try to take the things of God, the things, the truths of the universe and of God, and we try to crunch them and compact them and compress them down to our understandings. When we do that, we have something called religion. That's why Jesus came in the first place, not for religion. In fact, the religious people were quite perturbed at Jesus, rather ticked off, I might say. Because he was destroying their vision of reality. And he was saying, you know what, it's not about religion. It's not about all of these things that you like to play. But it's about a relationship with God the Father through Jesus Christ the Son. Well, Michael Morier in the magazine Popular Science, Journey to the 10th Dimension, continues, "This agnostic scientist says everything you have ever experienced, you have understood as happening in the three dimensions of space, up, down, left, right, front, back. Yet this is not how things happen," Michael Morier says from the Popular Science magazine Journey to the 10th Dimension in the recent March edition. Here's what he goes on to say. "Things happen in more than three-dimensional space. To see them only in three-dimensional space is to succumb to the trick that the universe seems to constantly be playing on us." Can I just mention to you that even the scientists of today recognize there's a lot more going on than we can see or perceive. Beyond our perception, there's a whole other world. Now, the Bible has said this all along. A book called Hebrews in the New Testament says it this way, quote, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for," Hebrews 11:1. "The evidence of things not seen." Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Watch this. Verse 2 says, "For by it the leaders and the elders of Israel obtained a good testimony," which means an established proof. Verse 3 of Hebrews 11, "By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible." I'll read that again. "By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of the things which are visible." Can I tell you that even the scientists today recognize there's a lot more going on, that there is a spiritual world. The mathematicians themselves, of which I am not one. My background is electronic engineering and broadcast engineering, nevertheless. I've learned to depend on math to calculate the distances of transmission lines and the length of antennas and so on, and even the circulation of electricity through various conductors and semiconductors. Nevertheless, what Michael Moyer says in Popular Science, Journey to the Tenth Dimension, on page 72 is this: "Modern physics is the most powerful tool for understanding the universe, yet it's wrong." Now, that's a scientist himself. Can you imagine such a thing? He goes on to say the vacuum of deep space, according to modern physics, is not empty at all. It swirls with innumerable subatomic particles. That's why the Bible says this: "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities, against the powers of rulers of darkness of this age, against the spiritual host of wickedness in heavenly places." Ephesians chapter 6, beginning with verse 10, ending up with verse 12. Here's the point. Jesus Christ, when he came on the cross and died, he was beaten, he was wounded for our transgression, bruised for our iniquity, our repeat sins, our generational curses. That's what iniquity means. Jesus Christ dealt with the judgment coming on you and me if we accept him. And that is what happened. So, all holiness broke loose on a cursed earth. The curse was reversed. And Jesus Christ did something in the spiritual world, in the extra dimensions that we could not see, but believe me, my friends, changed the way things are forever. When we come back, three authoritative principles this week. Next week on Faith Factor, we'll have the other three. Three authoritative principles that come to the front at the Passion of the Christ with the cross of Jesus Christ. Jesus took authority over three things. We're going to talk about it when we return here on Faith Factor. I'm Rod Hembry. Stay there. Just stopping in for a moment to tell you about something you can receive. If this program is of any value to you, you can receive an audio cassette of this program. It's going to take a little bit of an effort. If you send a gift of $10 or more to cover the postage and the packaging and the shipping to you, we'll make you an audio cassette of Faith Factor number 7. That's program number 7. We simply ask for a gift of $10 or more because that helps us to cover the cost and get the tape to you quickly and safely. So that's Faith Factor number 7. When you write for the tape, ask for Faith Factor number 7. Here's how you write. You write to Quick Study, P.O. Box 456, Orangeville, Ontario, L9W5G2. That's in Canada. A gift of $10 or more, audio cassette of Faith Factor number 7, this program, to Quick Study Radio, P.O. Box 456, Orangeville, Ontario, L9W5G2. When you write, send your prayer request. We'll be looking for your letter today. Rod Hembry back with you. We're talking about the Passion of the Christ. For the last couple of minutes, I just want to bring up something from earlier in the life of Christ as we conclude this particular session today, just some brief comments. First of all, I want to tell you that Jesus Christ can be described by the following offensive statements. Jesus is a violation of three-dimensional space that we live in. He has violently disrupted the real world. Jesus Christ is bent, he's bent our reality into the forced admission of what we call our fallen condition. That is a condition of sin. Jesus is a violent disturber of the state. Now let me explain that. He is a revolutionary. He is bent on violating your natural place in the universe, pushing you out of the natural order of the universe. Why would I say that? Because the natural order of the universe is full of sin and death. Jesus has come to destroy sin and death. Jesus Christ is an invader. He is a crusader. He is an instigator. And he is the only one who has the authority to fight. Now, that's important. We do not have the authority to fight against our fellow man when it comes to things like getting even and so on. Clearly, in the Bible, Jesus says, and Paul says it in Romans 14, "Vengeance is mine," says the Lord, as it was stated earlier in the prophets. Jesus Christ is the only one who has the authority to judge. You and I do not have the right to fight someone else if they have offended us. Now, this is very important, and I don't want to get into the just war doctrine here, but we could go in that direction for a while, but I don't want to. See, the universal way is chaotic, murderous, killing, selfish way. The universal way and our universe and our reality is infested with the stinking, sickening disease of sin. We are universal failures. What we did, all of creation paid for because of our forefathers who sinned. And Jesus is the sole original who came to overthrow that sin. Now, let me just give you a couple of passages here that relate to the authority that Jesus Christ took, and this is going to be my final point. What really went on the cross? Go back with me to Matthew chapter 8. Jesus Christ just initiated his ministry after the baptism. John the Baptist baptized him on the Sermon on the Mount in Capernaum. Matthew 8, verses 1 through 2, Jesus is coming down from that sermon, and he says, and in the Bible says this, "When he came down from the mountainside, large crowds followed him. And a man with leprosy came and knelt before him and said, 'Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean.'" Now notice this. The only way someone could become clean is if the priest approved it. Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. This is a violation of the Levitical law. And as he touched the man, Jesus said, "I am willing. Be clean," Jesus said, which also means be purified. And immediately he was cured of his disease and he was purified of his leprosy. And then Jesus said to the man who had leprosy, "See that you don't tell anyone, but go show yourself to the priest at the temple and offer a gift to Moses that Moses commanded as testimony, as a legal document of proof." You see, in the ancient Levitical law, God had said, if somebody has leprosy, send them outside of the camp, quarantine them, have the priest check them. And when they are cured of their leprosy, if they are cured of their leprosy, they are to come and make a sacrifice. So what was going on here? What was the purpose of this scene? And this is really what I want to get to today. It's the point I'm going to leave you with. The cross and Jesus Christ, and we're going to pick up on this next week, but the cross and Jesus Christ is this. Real authority is taken, it's never given. Jesus took the authority of judgment from Satan. Satan will never give you anything without taking everything. Satan will never give you anything without taking everything. Now listen to this last point, it's very important. You cannot buy spiritual purity from the priesthood. You cannot win spiritual purity by doing good deeds. Only Jesus Christ has the authority to give you righteousness before God. Only Jesus Christ. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask that you would reach out and touch the people who are listening today, that they might recognize that you have the authority, that you have the power to forgive their sins. And if they confess with their mouth after believing in their heart that you are Lord and you came to take their sins away, you will heal them. I pray that they would do it today in Jesus' name. Amen. We'll pick up on this next time on Faith Factor. You think about Jesus Christ, what he did for you, and reach out to him today. There's a whole world of righteousness waiting for you through Jesus Christ. I'm Rod Hembree. Thank you for joining us this time on Faith Factor. If you'd like to write to us with offerings or with prayer requests, you can write to Quick Study Radio, P.O. Box 456, Orangeville, Ontario, L9W5G2. That's in Canada. Or visit our website, www.thestreamtv.com. That's www.thestreamtv.com.